I want to finish up on adjuvant therapy and then move on to metastatic disease. Maybe I'll get into some of these issues. Dr. Sam Bobrow, Lisa asks, I no longer use CMF chemotherapy. Is there any role for CMF adjuvant chemotherapy in 2008, or should our, quote, easiest therapy now be TC?
Oh, you know, there's always a role for CMF and for anything that's been proven to have some efficacy. I have to say I use CMF rarely. And the times that I have, your 80-year-old lady that you presented earlier, had she had a really high-risk cancer and was a little younger with diabetic neuropathy and heart issues, precluding the use of taxanes and anthracyclines, CMF may have been a reasonable choice for her.
What are you generally utilizing for chemotherapy, HER2-negative, lower-risk, no-negative patients?
TC. TC. I still do use AC, and I do put patients on CLGB40101, which is a randomization between dose dense AC times 4 and dose dense Taxol times 4.
Alan, how do you approach those
TC.
TC? We've seen a big drop-off in AC usage in our patterns of care studies and bump up with TC. Back to Lisa, Dr. Harwin, in general, outside of clinical trials, what adjuvant chemotherapy regimens do you use for healthy young women with triple negative disease?
Well, it depends on their stage, you know, so I don't use very aggressive third generation regimens in stage one tumors typically. And so I think the triple negative tumors are usually high grade, and so their risk is substantial. So most of the time they are high enough risks that I would use a anthracycline taxane-based approach, and I use dose-dense ACT, but I think any of them is quite reasonable.
How about, again, lower risk, triple negative, you know, sonometer, no negative, etc.?
You know, it's the same. So, you know, I think the chemotherapy regimens that I use for triple negative are similar as the ones I use for ER positive that just have a higher anatomic risk. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So I think I do use AC. I'm not ready to throw in the towel on anthracyclines. I also use TC. And then when they get higher risk, I use combination regimens.
Dan?
I'd like to hear more from Lisa. I'm glad you asked her that question. And that is the one thing that struck me is this term triple negative. Patients really aren't triple negative. They're just not positive for ER and PR and HER2. And so now we're left with a 20 or 30% group of patients who've got something else driving their cancer. And yet there have been proponents of specific chemotherapeutic regimens that are different than what we apply and have enormous amounts of data to back up, as if this group of patients would respond differently, for example, using carboplatin and other drugs that aren't tested in the adjuvant setting. And I know Lisa's been interested in that and pursuing some of that, but I still think those patients, first of all, I know they benefit from standard adjuvant chemotherapy using anthracyclines and paclitaxel. In CLGB 9344, when we looked at HER2, the paper we published last fall, of course, what that meant was we were also looking at ER, and so that meant we had a group of patients who were ER negative and HER2 negative who did not get trastuzumab, and they got a substantial benefit out of paclitaxel. These patients are not doomed to die in the next 2 years, as they have been led to believe from recent discussions, and they don't need to be treated with crazy regimens that haven't been tested.
Well, really what there was ER-negative breast cancer patients.
Certainly there is room to study those regimens, and there are reasons to believe that platinums might work better, but they haven't been tested yet. And I absolutely agree with Lisa that those patients should be treated with what we consider standard of care adjuvant regimens, whether it's TC or TAC or AC followed by T.
What chemotherapy regimen are you generally using in a node-negative situation, lower-risk situation?
So in a patient who is actually negative for ER, and let's assume she's negative for HER2, so she won't benefit from trastuzumab either, very few of those patients are low-risk, because even if they're node-negative, you can still calculate out they got a 20% or greater risk of developing metastatic disease over the next 10 years. And if you add up the relative benefits of the full package, whether you want to give it as TAC or you want to give it sequentially, I don't care, you can pretty much justify giving them everything. I think there are very few of those patients where I would not give the full package unless you believe that TC is as effective as TAC or AC followed by T. And you asked me a question earlier I didn't answer. I like the TIC-TAC trial. I think it's based on good ideas and good hypotheses. But until it's really demonstrated to be equivalent, I think it's risky business to withhold an anthracycline.
Just to complete the issue in terms
from a high-risk patient. And I define high-risk here as either positive nodes or biologically high-risk, even if they're node negative.